It's nice of you, Ruth, to help me convert this old pigsty into another holiday cottage for unexpected visitors.
You're welcome, Jill. Actually, cleaning up a pigsty isn't too different from looking after a husband and three children.
Except David's not a pig.
No.
And Pip and the others aren't piglets.
No, it was a sort of joke stroke simile.
Well, please don't make any more jokes, Ruth, or I might have to kill you.
No, fair enough, Jill. I'll just get on with the whitewashing, shall I?
That might be best.
Who are your new visitors, anyway?
Oh, now, it's all rather mysterious. They haven't given their real names. They're in the public eye, I gather, looking for a little bit of country air away from the maddening crowd.
Madding.
Sorry?
It's a madding crowd. I did it for O-level.
Please don't correct me, Ruth. I'd hate to see David crying at your funeral. Now, what does the letter say? Arriving this evening, don't go to any trouble, but could we have a pot of your very special marmalade? Oh!
Whatever's wrong, Jill? Oh, it's just David. I'll reject it. Go on, Jill, you were saying.
Well, this is a pickle and no mistake. An anonymous celebrity is making a special request for my special marmalade, and I haven't a pot in the house.
Jill, don't often see you here in the morning.
No. Look, I won't beat about the bush. I need to make some rather special marmalade. Do you have any organic marmalade oranges?
No, for heaven's sake, I'm coping, okay? I'm getting my life back on track and I'm tired of people prying and whispering and interfering. I'm sorry, what did you say to me?
I wondered if you had any organic oranges.
Oh, yes. Sorry, misunderstanding. They're over there where it says organic oranges.
Yes, I see them. The round orange fruit in the box marked oranges. Thanks, Helen.
Look, I probably shouldn't say this, but the success of therapy and counselling depends on honesty. That particular batch of oranges is a bit, well, tasteless. But if you're only making marmalade for Phil, maybe that won't matter.
No, of course not. Thanks, Helen. But just suppose I wasn't making it for Phil. Just suppose, for the sake of argument, I was making special marmalade for an unnamed celebrity. Is there any sort of kicking ingredient I should put in it?
Well, I suppose if it's for a celebrity, alcohol?
Oh!
Hello, Jill. Jill?
Sorry, Pat, can't stop. And thanks, Helen. Thanks very much.
That was odd. She's usually so chatty. Wonder what that was all about. Helen?
Oh, just shut up. I'm coping.
Oh, what should we...
Oh, sorry, David. I was in a hurry. I have to get to the fancy marmalade pot department in Underwoods while they've still got their special offer on.
My, you are treating Dad well these days.
Goodness, I don't know why everybody thinks my life revolves around your father. Anyway, how are you?
Mum, was Ruth with you this morning?
Yes, David, why?
Well, it's just that she rejected a call I made to her on my mobile. I thought that you might be able to clear up the mystery.
No, sorry. I don't interfere in my children's marriages, however hopelessly they mess them up. Bye!
Mess them up? Hey, Mum, hang on a sec.
Come in, David Archer. Just step over that pile of condemned meat.
Oh, cup of tea, David.
Oh, Eddie, Clary, Joe.
David Archer.
Listen, the thing is, I just called Ruth on her mobile telephone.
I know. Them newfangled things without the wires.
That's the one. I called Ruth and I know that she knew it was me because...
Because the name of the caller comes up. We've all got mobiles, David Archer. Get on with it.
Well, the thing is, Clary, Joe and Eddie, Grundy, she rejected the call and I'm worried that she's ill again. Or having an affair.
Well, I don't want to add to your worries, David, but we just had your mum here.
What, my mum, Jill Archer?
And she was wanting to buy something off us.
Not another wheelbarrow for her geraniums.
No, something much more sinister and unbelievable. She was wanting a bottle of my best cider.
Ah, something smells good, Jill. Are you knocking up a batch of lark's tongue roulade in a cider and kiwi gravy?
No, just a bit of marmalade. I noticed we'd run out.
Oh, marmalade, eh? Do you mind if I dip my finger in?
Yes, I do. Huh? I'm tired of you interfering in my kitchen. I can't move in here for old sponge cakes. And if you must know, it's special marmalade, and it's not for you.
Well, in that case, I'll get my lunch at the ball.
I think that would be a rather good idea, and don't hurry back.
And a packet of me tights, please. Ready? David, what the heck are you doing here? This is my downtime.
What the heck are you playing at, rejecting my calls?
I'm an emancipated woman. I don't have to answer to you or anybody else. Thanks, Betty. Oh, and keep the change. I'd like to curry favour with somebody this morning.
Don't worry, Betty. I was going to buy some red roses and a box of champagne truffles, but on second thoughts, I'll use my money for a pint of Shire's.
Good morning, Vicar. David seems to be heading for the bull in rather a bad temper.
Yeah, I must admit I was heading for it myself. The pressure of clerical life in a small, rural, yet troubled community gets even to me occasionally.
I'm on my way there too, I must confess. Trouble at home. I just stopped for a moment to admire this window display.
Yes, those packets of custard are beautifully lined up.
Could I just have a word, Alan? Well, look, let's sit down a moment, shall we? Oh, sorry. I missed the bench there.
Yeah.
Let's try again. Ah, that's better. Now, Alan, you're a vicar of the world.
Well, try to be. Go on.
Well, the fact of the matter is, I caught Jill making a batch of marmalade for somebody else. I don't want to think the worst of her, but...
But you think she's having an affair and about to leave you?
Well, yes. What's your take on it?
I'm sure you're right. My advice would be, come and get drunk in the bull, call the toughest lawyer in Felpersham, and make sure she doesn't get your car or your golf clubs.
Oh, I thought you'd counsel caution, a cooling-off period, and perhaps a chat with you in the vicarage.
Those days are gone, sunshine. Come on.
Another vodka and Vimto, please, Jolene. Could I have a fresh umbrella in it?
Coming right up, Lillian. More crisps?
No, I won't, thanks. Salt plays havoc with my water retention. I don't want any more evenings in casualty, thanks very much.
No, that can't have been any fun, being cut out of your own underwear.
A woo-woo and a packet of pot scratchings, please, Jolene. You diamond.
Just a minute! Hello, Phil. What can I get you?
Well, it's rather a large order, I'm afraid. I'm with Alan, David, Eddie and Joe.
Tell you what, why don't I get Clary to mind the bar... And I'll come and lean over your table in a misleadingly provocative manner.
Oh, that would be very nice, Jolene. Thanks very much.
Clary!
They do look miserable at Phil's table.
Men, I tell you, Lillian, I've half a mind to bar the lot of them and turn the old place into a ladies-only reflexology spa.
Sorry I was such a time, Jolene. I was having a bit of harmless fun with a dry man. Oh, I just button that up. Everything all right, Jolene? You're looking a bit down in the dumps.
Oh, don't mind me. Just sometimes I can't believe I've ended up with the name Perks. Take over, could you, Clary? I've got to go and serve Phil.
Phil Archer? You want to watch him, Jolene? We've already had Jill coming round airs buying him cider on the sly. I reckon he's gone from a God-fearing organ-playing upstanding member of the community to a hopeless alcoholic.
Has he indeed? Oh, we'll see about that.
Right, put that hat on, Phil Archer. You're barred.
What?
Haven't you read the notices, David Archer? No spitting, swearing, or saying what to a lady. You're all barred. Get your jerkins and get out.
Now, what's all the commotion? I'm sure we can settle this in a calm and friendly manner.
Oh, don't you calm and friendly me, Sid Perks. You've done enough calm and friendly to last us both a lifetime. You can get out as well. Go on. I put the old place in my name last time you was on tranquilizers. Here's your cardy. Out you go.
Oh, Jill, that marmalade smells gorgeous. And thanks for looking after Ben for me. I don't know how you managed to do it all.
Oh, just order and method, Ruth. Ben and I've had a lovely time. He did get a little bit naughty, but Gran sorted that out, didn't she?
Shall I maybe untie him from the mangle now?
If you like, dear. It's not quite the full 3 hours, but never mind.
Down you come, Ben. That's right. Oh, hi, Pat.
Hello, Jill. Ruth. Oh, my, something smells good. Is that a batch of organic marmalade?
Yes, I just made a few pots while I was waiting for the television to warm up.
Oh, fancy pots. I spotted them in Underwoods. These are antique Venetian glass, aren't they, with Georgian silver lids?
No need to be forever faffing with gingham, even if we are in the sticks.
No, absolutely. Anyway, I just wondered if you and Phil wanted to come over tonight. I found an old photo of some women in sunbonnets standing in a field. I thought we could all have a good look at it.
I'm busy tonight, aren't I, Ruth?
That's right. We're doing up one of the old pigsties as a luxury holiday cottage.
A new holiday cottage? Whoever for?
It's a very famous celebrity.
Not Alan Titchmarsh.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why does everyone think I'm obsessed with Alan Titchmarsh? Those were not his pants and I was not embroidering them.
I'll see you out, Pat. Come on, Ben. It's nearly tea time.
Is everything all right with Jill and Phil's marriage? She seems very stressed. And in my experience, a woman doesn't put marmalade in fancy antique pots unless something's gone pretty darn wrong.
Oh, put a sot in it, Pat. I have enough problems of my own with David.
Well, yes, you do, Ruth. And in your case, it might be a bit too late. I just saw your so-called husband on the Borchester bypass, looking for all the world like a man heading for a big fry-up at Jack's Caff.
Look, lads, I'm not sure about this trip to Jack's Caff. Maybe we were too hasty.
Ah, rubbish. Us men have got to stand up for ourselves. Barred from the bull, what we need is a good man-sized plate of lard. That'll show those mamby-pamby women what we're capable of.
Well, maybe Dad's right. Ruth and I promised each other we'd never knowingly raise our cholesterol levels.
Well, me and Jolene had a similar no-fried bread pledge that we made on our honeymoon. But barring me from my own pub, that just about puts the tin lid on any loyalty oaths as far as I'm concerned.
You've been around, Mr. Archer. You must have had a few fry-ups in your time.
Well, yes, but things were different then, Eddie. Only two channels on the television. If we wanted to change sides, we didn't just press a button on the remote like they do today. We had to saddle up Maisie or Spot and make a 25-mile round trip. And when you got home, the programme was over and you'd been burgled.
Oh, what do you think you're doing, posh idiot?
That's a fancy motorbike for these parts.
Yeah, and a heck of a Swiss sidecar.
And heading for the B9987. Funny.
What's funny about that, Mr. Archer?
No, nothing. Let's park up and get some saturated fat down us. It's just that...
Well, go on, Dad. Something about the direction that motorbike and sidecar was going in has obviously disturbed you.
Well, it's just that the B9987 only leads to our old pigsty.